During one of the texting sessions that became our habit over the period I now think of as both late and early in our relationship, my mother revealed the existence of someone named Janice Jerome. The context of our exchange was my need for context. 2 years earlier, I had set out to capture the terms of our estrangement, to build a frame so fierce and broad it might finally hold us both. If not an opponent to the cause, my mother was a wily associate, allied in theory but elusive by nature, inclined to defy my or any immuring scheme. The channel that opened between us across her 60s and my 30s spanned two countries and bypassed decades of stalled communication. We pinged and texted our way into daily contact, a viable frequency. This was its own miracle, a combined feat of time, technology, and pent-up need. As she neared 70, the repeated veering of our habitually light, patter-driven exchanges into fraught, personal territory was my doing, a response to a new and unnameable threat. Perhaps she had felt it too, that there may not be time to know all the people I had been in her absence, that I might never meet the many versions of her I had discounted or failed to recognize, that we wouldn't tell the most important stories. If our withholding was mutual, it was part of a tradition I took from her and she from her mother. I sought a context for this, too, the narrative affliction so common to maternal lines and so little changed by a century of marked progress. If anything, the supposed release from pastlessness and isolation that kept a woman from imagining herself as universal, worthy of story and its ritual transmission, had further troubled a primary bond. Mother-daughter relationships are generally catastrophic, Simone de Beauvoir once observed. This we knew. This everyone knows. It has been understood, too, that the general catastrophe of mother-daughter relationships makes them less and not more interesting, unfit for inscription. As much as anyone, I have manifested this view. For the better part of my life, only contemplating our relationship interested me less than contemplation of my mother. As a writer, the subject appeared fatal. Our catastrophe represented an absence of imagination and vitality. It was where story went to die. By the time my mother introduced me to Janice Jerome, however, early in 2016, something had shifted. Unbeknownst to her, I had spent the previous 2 years struggling to articulate the terms of a new project about legacy, feminism, and failure, questions I sought to examine and refract through the prism of mother-daughter relations. In my half-conception of it, the project would rest in the shadow of my mother's mortality, colored and inflected as I saw fit by the vague, theoretical specter of her loss. It would deploy specific elements of her life, our lives, to larger, abstract ends. As a matter of inability, as much as instinct, it would privilege argument over plot, ideas over narrative, something else over straight memoir. When an editor asked that summer why I wanted to write such a book, I made a comment about it being the hardest thing I could do at that moment, like I had any idea. Past 70, when she shrugged off mother-daughter affairs, Beauvoir refused to identify as a feminist for most of her life. As a product of similar, if not the same, confusions, I have found comfort in this. I see a heritage in it, however twisted, and heritage is what I seek. I had not turned to my mother for such things. She seemed to prefer it that way. Like her, I learned by example and lack of example not to look to the women closest to me for a sense of who and how to be, what was possible in life. Unlike her, I had a mother who had lived out a neoclassical epic of self-determination. 1970s housewife turned MBA, turned CEO. Still, her example proved dim, her transformations hidden, their terms boggled. This appeared to me by design. The breach between us had not been a cost of her emancipation, but its requirement. As a child, I stopped seeing her clearly. In adolescence, I stopped wanting to.